Nobody, Langdon replied instinctively. He had always enjoyed the solitude and independence provided him by his chosen life of bachelorhood, although he had to admit, in his current situation, he'd prefer to have a familiar face at his side. There are some colleagues I could call, but I'm fine. Dr. Brooks finished writing, and the older doctor approached. Smoothing back his bushy eyebrows, he produced a small voice recorder from his pocket and showed it to Dr. Brooks. She nodded in understanding and turned back to her patient.
Mr. Langdon, when you arrived tonight, you were mumbling something over and over.
She glanced at Dr. Marconi, who held up the digital recorder, and pressed a button. A recording began to play, and Langdon heard his own groggy voice, repeatedly muttering the same phrase.
Sorry. It sounds to me, the woman said, like you're saying, very sorry, very sorry.
Langdon agreed, and yet he had no recollection of it. Dr. Brooks fixed him with a disquietingly intense stare.
Do you have any idea why you'd be saying this? Are you sorry about something?
As Langdon probed the dark recesses of his memory, he again saw the veiled woman. She was standing on the banks of a blood-red river surrounded by bodies. The stench of death returned. Langdon was overcome by a sudden, instinctive sense of danger, not just for himself, but for everyone. The pinging of his heart monitor accelerated rapidly. His muscles tightened, and he tried to sit up. Dr. Brooks quickly placed a firm hand on Langdon's sternum, forcing him back down. She shot a glance at the bearded doctor, who walked over to a nearby counter and began preparing something. Dr. Brooks hovered over Langdon, whispering now.
Mr. Langdon, anxiety is common with brain injuries, but you need to keep your pulse rate down. No movement, no excitement. Just lie still and rest. You'll be okay. Your memory will come back slowly.
The doctor returned now with a syringe, which he handed to Dr. Brooks. She injected its contents into Langdon's IV.
Just a mild sedative to calm you down, she explained, and also to help with the pain.
She stood to go.
You'll be fine, Mr. Langdon. Just sleep. If you need anything, press the button on your bedside.
She turned out the light and departed with the bearded doctor. In the darkness, Langdon felt the drugs washing through his system almost instantly, dragging his body back down into that deep well from which he had emerged. He fought the feeling, forcing his eyes open in the darkness of his room. He tried to sit up, but his body felt like cement. As Langdon shifted, he found himself again facing the window. The lights were out, and in the dark glass, his own reflection had disappeared, replaced by an illuminated skyline in the distance. Amid a contour of spires and domes, a single regal facade dominated Langdon's field of view. The building was an imposing stone fortress with a notched parapet and a 300-foot tower that swelled near the top, bulging outward into a massive, machicolated battlement. Langdon sat bolt upright in bed, pain exploding in his head. He fought off the searing throb and fixed his gaze on the tower. Langdon knew the medieval structure well. It was unique in the world. Unfortunately, it was also located 4,000 miles from Massachusetts. Outside his window, hidden in the shadows of the Via Torregali, a powerfully built woman effortlessly unstraddled her BMW motorcycle and advanced with the intensity of a panther stalking its prey. Her gaze was sharp. Her close-cropped hair, styled into spikes, stood out against the upturned collar of her black leather riding suit. She checked her silenced weapon and stared up at the window where Robert Langdon's light had just gone out. Earlier tonight, her original mission had gone horribly awry. The coo of a single dove had changed everything. Now, she had come to make it right.